recently.
Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Terminal fans, QT and Sun Guy here with you again on a Sunday afternoon. Quick show note, if you're up in our neck of the woods, up in the Pacific Northwest, as usual on Sunday, 7611 North Exeter in Portland, Oregon, you'll find NWA Blue Collar Wrestling. So make sure you get out there and support the fine people there in BCW. Our guest scheduled to be on with us here in just a little bit. He should be calling in pretty soon. At QT, wild times in BCW last week. Two new champions, new NWA Blue Collar Champion Buddy Highway, new Pacific Northwest Tag Team Champions, the Moonshiners. Sounds like some big things going on there in Portland this week.
Yes, and I saw that promo that the Moonshiners cut. They were drinking from that bottle or jug that they normally take to the ring. And I got to give a tip of my hat to Paul Moonshine. Resplendent in a blue tuxedo.
Absolutely, and I believe our guest is with us. Do we have Mr. Race with us?
Hello?
Hello, Are we Leland Race with us?
Yeah, this is Leland Race. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking time to be on the show today.
Not my pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Our pleasure to have you. Now, we're going to give you the question we give everybody that is on our show for the first time. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
It's in my blood. It's in my blood. My dad, being who he is, was traveling for, hell, probably 50 years, if not over that, the roads every day, 8 days a week, 365 days a year. And getting the opportunity to see what he did, to meet the people who he met, and to go to places that only people that have his status and his stature were to be able to go because of what he did and what he was capable of doing, that just put me in awe quite a bit. And I didn't get to travel with him a whole lot because he was pretty hell-bent on making sure that I went to school and making sure that I had an education on to follow up with whatever my choice was to do for a living, be it a professional wrestler or an accountant or architect or teacher, whatever the case may have been. He just wanted to, first and foremost, make sure that, education was drilled into my head. And, at about 10 years old, that's when I really started to make up my mind that, being a professional wrestler is what I wanted to do and that I wanted to follow in his footsteps. So that's, when it started. And here I am now, 20 years later, 21 years later.
Did you have a background as far as any type of amateur wrestling or other athletics to prepare you for professional wrestling, or was wrestling training where you started the entire physical side of wrestling?
Right. No, yeah, I'm a state champion in amateur wrestling. In 2004, I was a state champion. in a collegiate division. It was not a D1 school. It was a lower level. But I was a state champion in amateur wrestling. I was also a state champion in competitive swimming, and I know that sounds stupid, but that sport always really just took an interest in me. And nationally ranked an amateur wrestler, dabbled a little bit here and there in football, baseball, and basketball. Athletics has really been a part of my entire life. So that is, is really something that I believe in, is to stay active. I can't stand sitting around doing nothing. And so playing in sports, participating in not only individual sports like amateur wrestling, or depending on what the event is, in swimming, you know, if it's a individual event as far as swimming, or a team event where it's a relay or anything like that, you know, I enjoy doing that type of stuff, and you know, I still try to participate in it to this day.
Obviously, having a father in the sport of professional wrestling, you had a little bit more of an advantage as far as knowing what it might be like yourself as you got into it.
Mm-hmm.
Even having a father that was entrenched in the business of professional wrestling like yours, was it as you thought it would be, or was it different when you first got into the ring and you were performing in front of crowds?
Right. When I first started, I was 10 years old. I pretty much made up my mind at that age when I figured out that being a professional wrestler is what I wanted to do. But again, my dad said, look, you got to finish school and then we'll talk. Because he actually kind of tried to deter me from being inside this business, because he knew how hellacious it can be mentally, physically, on your family and on the individual that's trying to participate in it. And I did what he asked. And then I was 17 years old. I had just finished up high school, and I told him, look, I'm ready to go and do this. This is what I want to do, participating in professional wrestling. Being a professional wrestler is my choice, is what I want to do. And he said, okay, but the deal is that you're going to go. He knew of a guy. His name is George South Sr. He's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, an incredible guy, somebody who really taught me the very, very basics of professional wrestling. He got me involved in, he gave me my first match a month into the business, when I was training 6 days a week, 5-6 hours a day in a building where I could stand on the floor and reach the ceiling. But you know, when I was growing up trying to, you don't really have a clue what it's like until you actually participate in it. When my dad sent me to Charlotte, I lived in Charlotte for 5 years, and I was wrestling in front of crowds that as little as 2 people or as big as, 3,000 or 4,000. It was a different night, different crowd every single time. And you don't really know what to expect before you get involved in this industry. And even when you are involved in this industry, it changes on a nightly basis, because what a crowd might like one night, say in Nashville, Tennessee, well, then the next night, if you're in Indianapolis, Indiana, well, they might want something else. And so your game plan is thrown off, and it's going to mess you up mentally. And it has the potential to mess you up mentally anyway, as long as you keep an open mind and just try to accept things the way that they are. There's a lot of things that are good. You just gotta keep your vision as close to a big circle as you can, not just narrow-minded straight ahead of you. With it being, prior to the industry, you don't really know how hard it is, no matter if you have a parent or a grandparent or whoever, a brother or sister in it, doesn't matter. You don't really know what it's like and how hard it is until you actually get into it. And that is a very big thing. A lot of people that come into my dad's school, they think that it's all glitz, glamour, and glory. And then when we had to travel 7 or 8 hours just one way for an event, and then, you wrestle in front of anywhere between 400 or 500 to 1,000 people, whatever the case may be that night, it's a very big reality check for people who don't understand what comes before, I guess, WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor. There's a lot of stepping stones that you have to go through. And that's one thing that I'm proud to say that I'm doing, and I enjoy doing.
At this time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that he has some questions for you, so I'm going to get things
Absolutely.
Over to QT for a while.
QT?
Hi, Leland. How are you doing?
Good, QT. How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good.
Leland, on August 29th at Troy Buchanan High School, World League Wrestling is presenting Night of Champions. Your
yes, sir.
Dad is going to be there along with Limousine Riding, Turbo Prop Biplane Flying, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Do the
That was the detailed version of
this
it.
Match go to the Troy Buchanan Athletic Department?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to just, we're raising funds, you know, for the Troy Buchanan High School Athletic Department, like you just said. Troy, we have moved into that town recently. It's a suburb of St. Louis. And we moved into that town about a year and a half ago, and that city has became extremely accepting of us. And we wanted to show that area and the greater St. Louis area as well that, you know, we have the capability of bringing an event to this magnitude to this area. And the response has been nothing but awesome. And that event is actually going to end up, is going to wrap up the 2015 Harley Race Wrestling Camp, the camp that which my dad holds annually. And, you know, that camp's going to be just as equally as exciting and fun.
Now, what's the youngest participants that you have seen at your dad's wrestling camp?
Due to legal issues, it's 18 years of age.
Oh, okay, 18.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of schools out there, and I'm not knocking them. I'm telling facts. There's a lot of schools out there that I've seen people as little as 11 or 12 years old in the ring, and that's extremely dangerous because, I mean, their bodies aren't even fully developed yet, and they're being put in situations where when you get slammed on your back or driven your head into the mat or whatever the case may be, you know, that's painful for a fully grown adult, much less adolescent whose bodies may not be fully developed yet.
Yes, you can. You even in a year's age difference, there can be quite a bit of difference. Even 8 months or so, the development.
Right.
And if a slightly bigger kid happens to throw a smaller kid just the right height and distance, you know,
right.
You could have an injury that'll plague the smaller kid for life.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it could kill him, you know. And I know that is putting the worst case scenario out there, but I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, even trained professionals, I've been involved in this business my entire life. I have been training and I've been wrestling for 12 years. I could even be killed with the snap of a finger if something goes wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Leland, did you also go to Troy Buchanan High School? Are you a native Missourian?
Yeah, I'm in Kansas City. I'm from the opposite side of the state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We picked the Troy area, the St. Louis area, because of wrestling at the Chase. My dad's name, he felt, was more bigger in that area, and he wanted to try and take advantage of that while he could. And so we searched for about a week straight for locations, and we went and found the building that we're in. We absolutely love it. We have 7,000 square feet of area. It's actually, our training school is also the location of the Race Wrestling Arena, where we host events monthly there at that building. So we have light, cameras, chairs, fans, you know, we try to do the whole shebang, and so far it's working out pretty well.
Now, is it true that Fox News gave you an interview for this upcoming event? Oh, good.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we went up there Monday morning, so it's just under a week ago that we went up and did it, and it was fun. You know, there's a lot more wrestling fans up there that actually worked at the TV station than I expected, and that's a good thing because that TV station is also, I guess, I don't know if they work together or if they're owned by the same person. I'm not 110% sure, but Fox 2 News here in St. Louis, they are owned by the same people that own KPLR, which for anybody that's in the St. Louis area, KPLR was home to Wrestling at the Chase for pretty much its entirety. while it was on television. So it was pretty cool and nostalgic to see wrestling fans that may have been around in that era, that may have been, that currently work for the Fox 2 news station there. So it was, you know, it was pretty fun. It was pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. Very nice. All right. Well, Leland, you're going to be matched up against NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion Steve Anthony. My question is, have you met this Steve Anthony in the ring before?
I have, actually. There was when I first started professional wrestling, again, my dad sent me to Charlotte, North Carolina. I stayed up there for 5 years, trained under George South. But in 2008, I called my dad and we talked, and it was at that time the decision was made for me to come back home. And when I started training at my dad's school, Steve Anthony was the then current head trainer for my dad's school. And, you know, I've been in the ring with him. He's taught me quite a bit. I've grown since then, and so has he. Obviously, he is the current NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. I'm the current WLW Heavyweight Champion. So, you know, we both grown in positive ways. And, you know, I'm looking forward to August 29th because I'm going to go out there with the purpose of tearing the roof down, and that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Now, on the day of the match, is your dad going to wake you up extra early, run a mile with you, and then fix you the breakfast of champions, which is scrambled eggs and diced bacon and cantaloupe?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the opposite way around, if anything, because he is about as early morning person as I am. And, his physical activity is a lot less than what it was. I mean, he's retired. He's been retired for quite some time now. And, he's looking forward to this event. He's looking forward to meeting all the fans, seeing the great wrestling matches that are going to be happening, where I think we have tentatively, I think definitely six matches, probably seven if we can, for that event, because it's going to be a pretty much a mega event. And I know he's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Ric Flair said he is looking forward to it. It's coming up in just right under 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yes. It's amazing how the summer is deeply going away.
Yeah. It seems like it just started yesterday.
Well, Leland, as a child growing up, say around early grade school, did you have a chance to meet Andre the Giant? And did your dad ever invite him over to the house?
No, I was a late child, I'll put it that way. I'm 31, I was born in 84. So I was never really around at that point in time because, you know, my dad, I was just after Starcade in 1983. I was born directly after that. And, you know, my dad would have guys over at the house pretty much whenever they were in the area, depending on which company he was working for, because, you know, when he was working for Vince and the WWF at the time, WWE now, they had a nationwide, I guess, tour schedule, if you want to call it that, set up. So, you know, they would be in the area only so often. But, you know, when it comes to like the NWA days of his wrestling career, you know, he was based out of Missouri. He was, you know, wrestling in this state or the, you know, Iowa, Illinois, Kansas, Nebraska, that area, Arkansas, you know, it depends on what territory days you're talking about. But he was not one of the guys I was able to meet.
Oh, all right. How about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes?
Yes. Yeah, I've met not plenty of them, that's not right for me to say, but I've met a lot of good guys in professional wrestling, good, you know, deep-hearted good guys. Dusty Rhodes, Roddy Piper. I mean, there's a long list.
Oh, okay. All right. So, are you saying you've never had the opportunity to sit across from Dusty Rhodes on a teeter-totter?
That's one thing I did not do. You'll be accurate in saying that.
Oh, okay.
Because it'd be a one-scale-weighted opportunity.
Yes. All right, well, Leland, your dad was a great friend to people he admired and had earned his respect. But you didn't want to be a brash young rookie who thought he was owed a title shot without paying his dues, and he was around your dad. It was
right.
Not a very good thing to be on your dad's bad side. If your dad had chosen to go into football, how would he have fared against the likes of Lyle Alzado, the assassin Jack Tatum, one of the hardest hitters in the game, or maybe Dick Butkus, or the man with no front teeth, Jack Lambert?
You know, you got to understand my dad. At the age of 15 years old, he got kicked out of high school for knocking out the principal. So at that point in time, you know, he was a very, very big kid. And I don't mean fat or out of shape or whatever. He was just a big kid. So when you're out there, and he didn't even intentionally hit the principal. The kid moved out of the way that he was trying to hit, and the principal caught the receiving end of the punch. But when you are knocked out by a 15-year-old kid, and then the kid is out there, he also works on farms. You know, that's what he did for his family. This is what his family did for a living. They own the farm. So I think he would have done very well for himself in whatever form of career he chosen. But I'm glad he chose what he did, because I know almost daily he says that he wouldn't ever do it, change anything. He'd do it all over again the same way.
Wow. Okay. Have you seen pictures of Jack Lambert of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I have not myself, no.
Oh, okay. Well, after the show, why don't you look up pictures of Jack Lambert? He's missing his front teeth. And talk about a man you, just by his appearance, you never want to meet him in an alley. He reminds me a little bit of your dad. Yes.
Right, yeah, it was a different breed of person in that day.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that's Jack Lambert. All right, well, now speaking of having to grow up tough with a name like Dick Butkus, the schoolyards of any school in America are no exception. Alpha males clash with beta males and even omega males to establish hierarchy. Mm-hmm. With your dad being Harley Race, many kids wanted to see how tough his son would be. But you proved very tough yourself, because you said you were a national champ at 103 pounds. Can you tell us how old you were when you won the 103-pound championship?
I never said that I was at 103 pounds, and I was not a national champion. I was nationally ranked, but I was not a national champion. Yeah, I was a state champion at 184 pounds in college.
Well, I wonder where I got that 103 pounds then. That's my mistake. Oh, okay. Well, now,
go ahead.
Were you a good wrestler at 103 pounds? Is that when about you started wrestling, say, like in junior high, maybe?
Yeah, actually, I was. I did wrestle for the 103 weight class in junior high in the seventh grade. I wasn't allowed to participate when I was in the sixth grade for school. You know, the school had, a rule against it, or for whatever reason. But I did wrestle in seventh grade and eighth grade at both. I think seventh grade I was at 103, and eighth grade I was at 108, something along those lines. It's been a long time ago since I've done that. But seventh grade, you know, that wasn't my best year. You know, I was still trying to pick stuff up because, you know, it was my first year ever doing that. Eighth grade, that's when I was actually ranked in the state, but I didn't get a championship that round, and it just went up from there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Leland, I mentioned playgrounds of elementary, junior high, and to some extent high schools as being the proving grounds of all boys across America. And prisons are also an example of this. Will Ferrell portrayed this quite, famously in the movie Get Hard. I myself am comfortable in prison settings. One man who was also comfortable in prison settings was Johnny Cash, who sang at Folsom Prison. Is it true that your dad was a huge Johnny Cash fan?
Yeah, actually, he enjoyed his music. He got a you have to travel the roads with him to understand what I'm talking about, but I know for a long time he listened to him, as well as some varieties of country western music. And but you know, for a long time too, he would be driving with no music, and that's what he did now, and that's the way I travel. When I go from event to event, I'd have no music, just like he did, and it keeps me more awake, I suppose, because the music puts me to sleep.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Leland, I saw your YouTube video entitled Leland Race versus Mark Gedeker. At the
Gedeker, yeah.
How would you announce that?
Mark Gedeker.
Oh, Gedeker. Okay.
Yeah.
Gedeker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at the 3:36 mark, if you freeze the video, you can be seen standing on the turnbuckle with an overhead light casting its brightness next to your head. Any viewer can also see the massive tattoo you have on your right arm that extends from your shoulder to past your bicep. What does this tattoo symbolize?
It was a design that a buddy of mine and I had kind of put together through talking. What it is the biomechanical gears. I'm not done with it yet because I've still got some more work to do. For biomechanical gear, you know, it's basically like the skin was ripped off my arm and there was a robot. Honestly, I just thought it was cool and we just went with it. And on the inside of my arm, I have a Mjolnir Thor's hammer.
Oh, wow. Nice. Very nice. Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah,
well, after
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say a mechanical gears of a robot.
Yeah. It was something different. I've never seen it before. And, I just enjoy watching people come up with different creative things. And the guy that did it for me, he was a buddy of mine, still is, and he said, I came up to him and said, I'm wanting a pretty decent sized tattoo on my right arm, and he's like, well, let's come see what we can come up with, and that's what he did. And like I said, we still got some more work to do with it, but I like what it is thus far.
Is one of your favorite movie scenes with Arnold Schwarzenegger, is it in The Terminator when he takes the knife and he peels his skin away to reveal a robot arm?
Right, yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Leland, after you shook Mark's hand at the start of the match, you told the crowd, now it's time to rock and roll. Is it true one of your favorite songs is We're Not Going to Take It Like Twisted Sister, and that at one time you considered this for your entrance music?
No, I don't know where you got that from either, but I know the song, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not a favorite song of mine.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, Leland, I noticed that Mark gave you several knee drops to the back in the early going of the match. And then at the 13:47 mark, he rammed your back into the steel ring post. What exercises do you do to keep your back in shape to withstand such punishment?
It's hard to kind of answer that because with what I'm about to say, it's hard to piece together, but this sport is not meant for everybody. It takes a special type of person to even consider being involved in professional wrestling, much less actually sticking with it. And one of the defining qualities, one of the defining characteristics that a person I think kind of has to have is the ability to withstand a lot of pain, short-term and long-term. And that's just something that I guess I've been blessed to deal with genetically through my dad because he's tougher than nails.
Well, I noticed that you don't carry hardly any excess weight and that you keep your stomach flat. Excess weight exacts a terrific strain on the lower back. Can you take us through a typical daily meal of yours?
A daily meal?
Yes. I'm sure it's important to have some breakfast when you're working at your father's gym. Do you try to have eggs, toast, and orange juice in the morning?
I mean, it's a daily. It changes daily. I mean, if I have to, sausage and egg and English muffins or something like that, you know, it just depends where I'm at, if I'm on the road or if I'm at the house. I don't, it's just a day-by-day thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a whole lot of consistency in my diet, my daily routine, because I'm, at any point given time, I could get a phone call and I could be on the road within an hour or whatever the case may be.
What's the furthest you've driven nonstop to make a wrestling event? Have you ever topped 10 hours straight in a car?
Over.
Ooh.
I've done 14.
Holy smokes, okay.
And then I turn right around and drive right back again.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, Leland, I noticed that Mark gave you a knife-edge chop at the 14-minute mark. When you were a little kid, say like in grade school, and it happened to be there when your dad had wrestlers over, did they like to scare you in saying that if you did behave, they were going to give you a knife-edge chop? Maybe Ron Simmons?
That came up in a couple different times. Not a whole lot, but a few different times. But you gotta think of it from their point of view too. Who's gonna mess with the son of Harley Race? And I'm not putting myself or my dad's self on too big of a pedestal, but the respect that my dad garnered throughout his entire career, playing or not, all it takes is one bet, one wrong word for somebody to take out a place. My dad, he was a pretty laid back type of guy, still is. And so but people knew when to say stuff and when not to say stuff with him or around him. And I wasn't a narc either, so I wouldn't go tell on him. So.
Yeah, I heard through the grapevine that Hulk Hogan learned that lesson pretty well.
Yeah, it depends on which time you're talking about, but yeah.
Well, I think there was one time where your dad smacked Hulk Hogan on the ribs.
Just talking about that yesterday with him.
Well, now, have you ever received a knife-edge chop in an intergender tag team match from a lady that might have been a little stiff, but one that had you thinking in the back of your mind, damn, this lady can hit?
Not that move particularly, specifically, but, at our school, we do have girls train, and with me being a trainer, I tell them, this is a tough person sport. It's not a tough man sport. It's not a tough woman sport. It is a tough individual sport for any person, and, I'm going to train you just like I would train anybody else, and, I tell them that, just because I'm a guy or they're a girl, don't take any sign of disrespect out of it. It's just the way it is, and move on with it.
Are there any ladies that have come into your school and have earned your respect through immense hard work? Some that you might have written off at first glance?
I try not to judge a book by its cover, if that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that come to our school that I'm sure have been told, you're going to get killed or you're going to die if you go into professional wrestling or I think, if somebody said that, in whatever person's past that, I think they're stupid for doing it. No, it's not. It's not stupid. I understand times have changed and the thought processes of a lot of people have changed of what professional wrestling was and what it is. But at the bottom line, you can't knock somebody for trying what they are trying to achieve with one of their dreams, one of their lifetime goals. If you are knocking somebody by doing that, then you're no better than anybody else, because at least that person, whoever it may be, a guy, a girl, or whatever, you know, whatever the case is, they're going out there and they're trying to do it. But, you know, and they can't say anything. I wouldn't say anything bad if they could, or if they did try it, because at least they're attempting to. There's a lot of people out there in today's world that said, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, that
yes.
Everybody out there has the same opportunity as everybody else. And, you know, our doors are open year-round, and there's an opportunity that somebody wants to become a professional wrestler to come to our school. Let us put you through the ringer, and then we'll see if you really want to do it, because our school is top-notch for a reason. We have a quality, we have a standard that we have to maintain, and if you can last at our school, you can last at any other place.
Wow, you know, it kind of your description of your dad's school kind of reminds me of Steel Hearts in a Dungeon. He was into his 70s, and he was working out with the wrestlers, and a lot of times that 70-year-old man could emit shrieks of pain from much younger wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, Stu, you know, I never had the opportunity to meet him, but I've heard a lot of different stories pretty much saying the exact same thing that what you just said.
Yes. Yeah, he was a tough man. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Leland, the good feeling of mutual respect and showmanship in that match with Mark seemed to be fading fast when at the 15:40 mark, he took his boot and raked your eyes and your bridge of the nose.
Right.
Now, Roddy Piper was famous for stopping an opponent dead in his tracks if they were on an offensive roll against him by doing a blatant, I don't care if the ref sees this, two-fingered eye poke. My question is, have you had some eye injuries, and aren't you amazed at the lack of eye injuries throughout the years in the WWE when it seems there should be a lot more?
I mean, injuries happen in this sport. I mean, it's a full contact sport. There's no two ways about it. You know, injuries, whether they're to the eyes, the arms, the legs, the neck, the head, doesn't matter. They happen. So I think professional wrestling has become more aware of, you know, that there are chances of injuries. And you know, at the Harley Race Wrestling Academy at my dad's school, we teach the right way to avoid injuries, but, you know, mistakes happen, slip-ups happen, crap happens, to be honest with you. So, with the lack of, you know, I guess particularly to the eye, you know, I don't know. You don't really hear about them that much, so I guess you're right.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there was that famous Big Ben Vader eye incident where he
yes.
popped his eye back in. Yes.
Yeah, with Stan Hansen, yeah.
Well, did you ever ask Mark why he attacked you from behind after the match was declared a draw, and it seemed like you had a mutual show of respect after the match by shaking hands?
Right, yeah, you know, a lot of people view me as, it's hard to explain because, you know, there's a lot of wrestling fans out there that come up to me and say I'm doing a good job and they cheer me because I'm of who my dad is. That's not what it's about to me. You know, I'm carrying on his legacy, yes, and I'm 100%, 110% proud of that. There's no two ways, you know, to think about it. But whether I'm a good guy, whether I'm a bad guy, I'm not out there to do that. I'm out there to go to show the world that, you know, I'm going to be the best. And each and every single match, I get better. And, you know, I just wanted to show Mark that I appreciated the sportsmanship and I appreciated the match that, and the competition that he brought in that match. So that's, you know, why I did that.
Well, I noticed that after he hit you, he went and stood behind an amplifier.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it takes a special kind of person to run and hit somebody from behind and go power it off. I mean, I'm not afraid of a whole lot, and one of the things that I'm mostly not afraid of is a fight. I'm not a hard person to find. people can find me. They know where I work at. They know where I'm, you know, where the Harley Ranch Wrestling Academy is. I'm easily accessible. But where has he been at? I don't know. That's the million-dollar question. When push comes to shove, you know, I'm not moving anywhere.
Well, I'm sure that you have gone above and beyond your wrestling training, and you know a little bit about the arts of self-defense, like they teach in the military, hand-to-hand combat, that type of thing.
You know, a lot of my training comes from amateur wrestling. That's some of the best conditioning that one could ever get. And I know how to protect myself, yeah, but all it takes is one shot from a person. And you can be down.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Leland, your dad was well-respected in Japan, where they treat the serious wrestlers like cultural icons. What were some of the best tips that your dad gave you that proved to be the most helpful when you moved to Japan for the first time?
Right, yeah, like... to be 100% honest with you, right now, my frame of thought is that wrestling in Japan, making a career out of professional wrestling in Japan is what I want to do. There's no other option for me right now. I mean, there are options, yeah, but there's no other ways that I want to pursue other than wrestling in Japan. And I received an opportunity, not because of the last name, but because of my work ethic and what I bring in the ring, my want and desire to want to do it. That got me that opportunity. And, you know, I enjoyed every second of it. It was extremely hard. Today it made me who I am today.
Did you ever have a singles match with a female wrestler in Japan?
What wrestler?
Did you ever have a singles match with a female wrestler in Japan?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, Leland, did you get the sense that to some extent that successful American wrestlers, especially heels, tend to have a kind of an outlaw biker image in Japan? Japan, kind of what the Hell's Angels and the Pagan Mongols, and to a lesser extent, the Bente Lattes have achieved here in America.
You know, I don't really look at it that way. I guess one could, but I don't. You know, I think that professional wrestling in Japan is... Professional wrestling, period, is what I love, and in Japan is what I love more. And because of the respect that it garners over there, and because it's not, I guess, laughed at like sometimes it is here, that's what makes me love it even more. You know, what people's image of it over there is, you know, is their own. You know, I don't ask opinions. I go over there to wrestle, and that's what, again, that's where I want to make my living.
Wow, all right, very nice, okay. Well, Leland, did you know the Bente Lattes are a defunct motorcycle gang that was based out of Longview, Washington in 1952, and they were the inspiration for Marlon Brando's The Wild One?
No, I had no idea about that.
Okay, well, for some reason they named themselves after an extra large coffee.
Yeah, no knowledge about that whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Well, now, Leland, does your dad ever mention former WWF ring announcers Mike McGurk?
Yeah. Mike was the daughter of Leroy McGurk, who was the promoter of the Oklahoma territory back in the NWA days.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, when is the next time going to travel over to Japan?
Right now, there's nothing set in stone, but, you know, I'm always working on trying to get something set up in stone. That's for sure.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, we wish you well over there. All right, Leland, I'm going to turn it back over to Stein Guy. It was good talking with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Nice talking with you, sir.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Race, we have a few minutes left in our show, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time to say anything you'd like to say to our listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything at all that you would like. Floor is all yours.
Right. First off, I appreciate both you guys allowing me the opportunity to come on here and talk. You know, I always enjoy doing it. I could talk a mile a minute sometimes, so I enjoy the opportunity to give the fans, you know, the chance to listen to what I have to say, and I appreciate the fans listening to what I have to say. I hope everyone enjoyed it. You can contact both my dad and myself through his website, which is HarleyRace.com. And, you know, we have a big camp coming up August 24th through August 28th. We have representatives from New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling NOAH, Dr. Tom Pritchard will be there, as well as Ric Flair will be there. And all week long, my dad will be there. I'm going to be running it, hopefully not into the ground, but we're going to be just having a good time. We're going to be learning, teaching, and putting on one of the best camps that one could ever possibly dream of attending. And on August 29th, Saturday, just under 2 weeks now, we're going to have WWE's Night of Champions in Troy, Missouri at the Troy Buchanan High School Gym. Tickets can be purchased for that event on HarleyRace.com, my dad's website. We're looking forward to selling that thing out, and you know, we just are looking forward to the many good things that are going to be coming out of WLW here in the near future.
Well, Mr. Race, it was a pleasure having you on the show. We'll definitely be talking to you in the future. Hopefully not too far into the future, as a matter of fact. I want to wish you the best of luck as you continue on with your career. Fans, if you get the opportunity, check out Leland Race. Get out there, support your local independents. If he's in a show near you, especially in the Midwest, get out there, support that. We will be back with you next Friday afternoon. We have the Mad Dragon Hakeem Zayn on the show. Should be a great time, so join us then.